Today we're going to learn about a verse and what the different sources in Jewish literature say about this particular verse. The verse says, "Ki betzelem Elokim asa et ha'adam." In the image of God, God made man. Tzelem Elokim, the image of God. What does it mean? There are so many explanations to this, but the point that I'm trying to make is that I'm not going to explain what does it mean, the image of God. Oh, does God have an image? For Judaism, God does not have any image. That's not what it's talking about. My focus on selecting quite a few sources, like 10, 12 sources, as we will see, is to see how the rabbis throughout the ages, and we're going to go really, really back from the Mishnah, which is talking about around 180 after the Common Era, till recently, basically, even looking at Tanya from the Alter Rebbe, 1800s, a letter from the Rebbe, 1950-something. So my idea is to show many, many different ways of understanding this Tzelem Elohim, this image of God. And main point, this is what I wanted to say before, does it apply to every single human being on the face of the earth? Yes or no? So over here is not my opinion. Who am I? I'm nobody. So it doesn't really matter my opinion. What I'm trying to say, what I'm trying to do is, I'll show the sources. This is what others that really know, they knew what they were saying, this is what they say. Sometimes we're going to like it, and sometimes not. But that's not my problem. Maybe you have a question on such and such source. Okay, so you have a question on the source. It's not a question on me, it's just a question on the source. And it's okay, you can have questions, that's fine. That's not a problem. So, what I'm going to do is to start with the Mishnah. I said before, Mishnah was written by Rabbi Yehuda Anossi around 180 of the Common Era, and the Mishnah says something very interesting. The Mishnah, I'm not going to read every single source, every single letter of every single, because it's going to be too long. No, I'm just going to bring the most important things. The Mishnah says something very interesting. Rabbi Akiva used to say like this, Chaviv Adam Shenivra Betzelem. Pay attention, please. It's beloved man that was created Betzelem. Tzelem means like an image. Let's just translate it simply, but an image. It doesn't say Tzelem Elohim. It doesn't say the image of God. That's what the verse says. But the source over here doesn't say image of God, just an image. And he's more, even more beloved that he was known, made known that it was created Betzelem, again, the same expression, in the image. It doesn't say the image of God. As it says, now look at the verse, Betzelem Elohim, asa es Adam, in the image of God. Then it says Elohim, God, the Lord, whatever, made man. And then it says, continues, the Israel, like the Jewish people, are beloved because they're called children to God and so on. This is the first source. So we do see that there's such a thing as Adam, a human being, whatever, man, which includes women, of course, it's the same thing. And then Israel, like the Jewish people. I don't know. Later, in a few minutes, we're going to read part of this commentary in the site. But before reading this commentary, let's go to some other sources. And I'll explain why. This commentary was written by Yom Tov Heller. He was a student of the Maharal of Prague, 1600s. So let's see what the Maharal of Prague says, and then we will see what the student says. Let's change. This is the Maharal of Prague explaining this Mishnah, explaining this teaching of the Mishnah. Maharal of Prague, again, Prague, Europe, 1600s. He says like this, look, Jewish people are called Adam, like human being. Umois, non-Jews, are not called Adam, are not called human being. Whatever they're called, we don't know, but they're not human beings. Why? Because plenitude, like fulfillment in creation, will Israel, is for the Jewish people, not for the non-Jews. This is what he says. Again, if you don't like it, it's fine, but it's not against me, it's against the Maharal of Prague. This is what he says. As we explained many times, the Jewish people are called Adam, human being, and it's something so clear and so easy to understand. Because this virtue, elevation of a human being, it's just for the Jewish people. And that's what he says, Chaviv Adam, man, which means for the Maharal of Prague, the Jewish people are beloved. And it doesn't say Habib in Israel. It's not talking about the Jewish people, specifically Israel and so on. No, because there's a very big difference. Very big difference. What's the difference? Because the Jewish people have what he calls tzura, like the shape, like a spiritual shape, whatever that means. And the non-Jews don't have it. Ikar tzura za Adam leinim tzaba umois. The main spiritual shape of a man is not found in non-Jews. It's not there. However, there is still something called tzelem, like an image, because the verse says, and they also have it. Rak only ein nechshav leklum. That's nothing. This is what the Maharal says. Okay, and then he says basically the same thing in a different book, Netzach Israel, explaining what the Torah is. It's a long book explaining what Torah is and so on. He basically brings exactly the same idea. He says like this, the Israel to the Jewish people, you have the tzura, anivdeles, like say, there's a separated shape, something spiritual, whatever that means. Ule'umo is mishpat ha'choymer, and the non-Jews, like a material life. Spiritual life, Jews. Material life, non-Jews. This is what the Maharal of Prague says. Now let's see what the student brings. This I'm going to read a little bit more. It's long, but it's very interesting, very rich, what he says. Again, this is a student basically arguing with his teacher. It's not so easy to do such a thing among rabbis, you know? Okay, so again, this student, Yom Tov Heller, he's explaining what does it mean, Chaviv Adam, man is beloved because it was created by Tzelem. It doesn't say the word Elohim. Let's see. Pirush Rashi. Rashi explained, I'm not going to read the whole Hebrew, just to translate. But you can see, whatever. Rashi explained that, what does it mean that a man is beloved because he was created by Tzelem, the image? Therefore, this is the explanation of Rashi. Therefore, since you were created in the image of God, you have to do the will of your Lord, of your Master. Like, behave. You have to behave. If you were not created in the image of God, like say a dog, a cat, whatever, so you don't have to behave in a specific way, but you have a special thing. You were created in the image of God, so please behave. This is how Rashi understands this idea. And now comes the explanation of Yom Tov Heller, student of the Maharal. This is talking about every single human being, exactly different. From his master, from his teacher, I'm sorry. This is talking about every single human being. Right? And the proof is that it says for Bnei Noach, for non-Jews, it says exactly, Adam, it's a human being. And it's not talking about the Jews only. How do you know this? Because later in the same teaching says, oh, the Jews are also the children. So first part is talking about non-Jews, every single human being. Second part, okay, that part is talking about Jews. That's fine. We're not going to analyze that. But over here, the first part is talking about Bnei Noach, and not just the Jews. And Rabbi Akiva wanted to give merits every single human being, even non-Jews, Bnei Noach, even non-Jews. Rabbi Akiva wanted to say, they're beloved by God. And this is something clear that the Rambam himself says. And I'm not going to read the whole thing of the Rambam, but basically what the Rambam says is that Chassid de Yumo Yisroelam, Chassid de Yumo Yisroelam, the pious among the nations, have a place in the world to come. And this works if a person accepts the mitzvahs and so on. There are conditions how to accept the mitzvahs. Okay, go look at the Rambam up to here, his language. I'm not going to translate the whole thing. Go look at the Rambam, end of chapter 8. Of Laws of Kings. Okay. And now I have a question, says the student. I have a question. Why is it so far a path for some commentators, in my humble opinion, he's talking about his own teacher, but why is it so long? Like, why is it so far? And they did not want to go in the path that I just told you. First part talking about non-Jews, second part talking about Jews. Why do you have to bring a whole kind of different explanations to say, no, this is not talking about non-Jews. Non-Jews don't exist. Why do you have to say such a thing? Why? And they did not want to translate the Mishnah of Rabbi Akiva, this teaching, talking about every single human being. Why not? And they based themselves in a famous teaching by the Gemara, the Talmud, that you, the Jews, are called Adam, and so on. And this is a drash ala drash. It's an interesting refutation. This is an explanation of an explanation of an explanation of an explanation. Why do you do such a thing? It doesn't sound so nice. No. And they started saying, like, what is a tzelem? Now you have to explain what a tzelem is, the image of God, because the verse is apparently talking about everybody else. So they brought up problems in their explanations. However, in my eyes, there is a very smooth path, a very big, smooth, ample path, that Rabbi Akiva is talking about the righteousness of every single person in the world. Like God told, as we explained in the words of the Rambam, to Moshe Rabbeinu, that we have to teach every single non-Jew to be a good person and so on, the mitzvahs, whatever. And if you have to teach them by force, of course you have to teach them by words. So just go teach the non-Jews what they have to do. And we're talking about the year 1600s, interesting. And you have to project their hearts of the non-Jews, he's talking about the non-Jews, to the will of God, and that they should find favor in the eyes of God. You have to teach them. And God should remember them for good. He's talking about the non-Jews. And you have to tell them they are beloved by God because they were created Betzelem, in the image of God. I'm jumping a little bit, and I want to show how he explains why doesn't it say Betzelem Elohim. So I'm not going to read it inside, but the point he brings is like this. Look, there's such a thing as called Tzelem Elohim, the image of God. If you behave properly, certainly you have the image of God inside of you. It shines or whatever, whichever way it is. However, if you don't behave properly, and what does properly mean according to the laws of the Torah, the will of God, and so on, you lose this thing of Tzelem Elohim, the godly image in you, you lose it. You're still a human being because you are a Tzelem, you have the image. But if you don't behave properly, it's not a godly thing what you have. You're a human being, but it's not a godly thing. That's the way he explains why in this Mishnah, twice, in this teaching, twice, it says, beloved is man that is what it was created, Betzelem, point, in image. And again, it's a higher belovedness or whatever you say, however you say it, he was created Betzelem in the image. And it doesn't say Elohim. And the verse itself says Elohim. So he explained. Look, it depends on your behavior. You lose your humanity when you don't behave properly the way God wants. You lose your godliness, not humanity. You lose your godliness when you don't behave. The humanity you never lose because you were created in the image of God. This is the way this particular source explains. Now, according to this, every single non-Jew, of course, is a human being. Of course. We can argue how he behaves, how he doesn't behave, but it's certainly a human being. Still, we don't understand the difference, if there is any, between the soul of a Jew, spiritual thing, and the soul of a non-Jew, another spiritual thing. If you ask the Maharal of Prague, he's going to say, no, don't come to me with the soul of the non-Jew. What do you mean the soul of the non-Jew? It's just a physical material thing. And he's alive? Yeah, of course he's alive. This is what the Maharal of Prague was going to say. And his student is going to say, I don't agree. I don't like it. Okay, so what about these souls? So let's go to a different source. Now we're going to learn a very, very short part of the Rambam, Maimonides. He wrote so many things. This source that I'm showing right now is called Shmona Prokim, 8 chapters of the Rambam. It's famous. You can look it up and you will find 8 chapters of the Rambam, which is an introduction that Maimonides wrote to his commentary in the Mishnah to Pirkei Avos, to the ethics of our fathers. Because the original source we started reading, beloved this man, and so on, that comes from the ethics of the fathers, chapter 3, and so on. So the Rambam is explaining what the soul is. What's a human being? You should know that the soul of a man, of a human being, is one. It's one soul. There's only one thing called soul. And has many activities, many different things that the soul actually does. And he goes into a whole long discussion of like physical activities, like digestion and the heart and the mouth and so on. And then some intellectual activities. According to the Rambam, Maimonides, every single human being has exactly the same soul. And it recites, so to speak, on a person, a godly thing, whatever it is, according to the behavior. The Rambam would call it supervision of godly supervision, ashgacha. That's what the Rambam would call it, ashgacha, a godly supervision according to the behavior of a person. If you behave like a intellectual creature, understanding godliness and acting properly and so on, so then recites upon you a godly thing, a godly thing. And if you don't behave, you lose this godly thing and you became basically like an animal, basically. But this applies to every single human being, not just Jews or not just non-Jews. The Rambam doesn't make a big difference on this. But interestingly, to add to what the Rambam says, I'm going to show you a different source, which is very interesting in itself. The Rambam over here, this comes from Mishneh Torah, his book of laws. The previous source wasn't a book of law, it was a book of explanation to the Mishnah, commentary to the Mishnah. Over here, it's a book of law. And he's explaining about the tribe of Levites. For the Jews, the tribe of Levites was always a special tribe. They did not partake in the Chetah Egel, in the sin of the golden calf. They were always a special people. And they would always serve God and be the servants of God. And so on. This appears so many times throughout the Bible, the Torah, whatever. And he says like this. This is what I'm going to read because it's very nice and very interesting. And not just the tribe of Levite, they can serve God. Rather, every single man, from every single person in the world, like it's not enough that he says human beings. Ish be'ish means every single man. He moves on and says, furthermore, from every single human being in the face of the earth, called by Olam. That this is so difficult to translate for me. English is not my main language, but whatever. That wants to be connected. His spirit takes him and his mind made him understand. This is typical in the Rambam. Like your brain makes you understand godliness and so on, and you separate yourself from the stupidities of the world, and you stand before God to serve him and to be a servant to him, to know him, typical of the Rambam also, knowledge and understanding, and you go right, like God made man, and you take from out of you, from your shoulders, so to speak, the yoke of different things that people actually look for. I want money, I want beauty, I want blah, 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 whatever you want. This guy, even from every single person of the world, this guy in Niskadesh Kodesh Kodoshim, I'm calling this guy Holy of Holies, says the Rambam. And it doesn't make a difference between Jews and non-Jews. So wait a second. What's a Jew then, according to the Rambam? I did not separate this particular source, but I'm going to mention it anyway. In the Laws of Idolatry, in the first chapter of Laws of Idolatry, the Rambam brings something interesting. He brings the whole story of what idolatry actually means. And he brings the idea that people they made mistakes and they started serving other gods, and it's a whole long, interesting thing. And then Avraham Avinu came. Avraham, our forefather, came and he recognized God with his understanding. Again, Rambam is a lot of understanding. And Avraham understood that there's a God. And he had a whole family and taught his whole family to serve God and to talk about God and blah, blah, blah. And then by the end of the first chapter, the Rambam brings, God gave the Torah to the Jewish people, to the family of Abraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, and all this family. Let's call it the Jewish people, whatever. I'm being vague with the word, with the term Jews, so I don't care right now about that. And that's the distinction between a Jew and a non-Jew, according to the Rambam, the way I understand it. I might be wrong, of course. What's the distinction? God chose these people, and he gave them the Torah, which shows how he, God, wants these people to be to serve him. And within the Torah, and the Rambam says this in the Laws of Kings, end of chapter 8, within the Torah, God told a message for the Jews to be given to the non-Jews, like we mentioned before when we were reading the commentary on the Mishnah by Rabbi Yom Tov Heller. So God gave the Jews a message for non-Jews through Moshe Rabbeinu in the Torah and so on. Go tell them what the message from me, says God, is. But the message for a Jew is one message, 613 mitzvahs, whatever they are, and seven mitzvahs for non-Jews, whatever they are, and all the ramifications and so on. So we see from the Rambam that this whole idea, and in the Guide for Perplexed at the beginning and also by the end, the Rambam explains different kinds of people. By the beginning, he brings the idea of Tselem. What does it mean? An image of God. It's a difficult text to read. That's the truth. I separated here for, over here. This is the first chapter, first things. First chapter of first book and so on of the Guide for Perplexed. The Rambam says, what does it mean, Nasi Adam Betzalmein? Let's make Adam a man to our image, according to our image. He says, this means Tzuras Amin. This is humanity, human beings. It does not make a difference between Jews and non-Jews. This is the way that I understand the Rambam. And what does that mean? What does it mean to be human? The Rambam says, and he explains this throughout the rest of the book. Go read the book, it's a difficult one. Hasaga sichlis, brain, understanding, mind. That's a human being according to the Rambam. Furthermore, the Rambam says, interestingly, in Laws of Tshuva, of repentance, what's the final stage of being in the world? Like the objective God creating man on earth and creating everything around it. What's the last state? Spiritual one. And he calls it sichlim nivdalim, like separated intellects. Like what separates from you and me, like I'm me, it's like my body and my place, and you are you, whatever. Says the Rambam, no. In the future to come, it's just going to be intellectual things. And what's going to separate between one person and the other one? I don't know, some kind of intellectual difference. No bodies, no world, no physicality, just brain, just mind. That's what the Rambam says. Nachmanides, Ramban says, no. That's not the way it is. We're going to have a physical world with a physical body, special, is never going to die, with the soul inside. So there's an argument over there between Maimonides and Nachmanides, which is for a different class. But the Rambam is so much into intellect. That's what a man is. And that's what actually Tselem means. This thing, Tselem, image of God, means you can think. That makes you a human being. Then by the end, I'm not going to read the whole thing because it's very long, but at the end, in the third part, chapter 51, really almost at the end of the book, the Guide for Perplexed, the Rambam brings a whole example of different kinds of people that are regarding the king in different places. Some are outside the palace, some are inside the palace but going rounds and rounds, not actually looking at the king. Some people look back. They don't want to look at the king. There's all kinds of people, like 7, 8 kinds of people. And he explains, who are these people? It's a whole long thing. I'm going to explain to you who these people are, like the example. A whole list of people. However, within the whole list of people, the Rambam doesn't say, this is a Jew and this is a non-Jew. No. The main basics is your intellect. Why am I bringing this source? Because I found a very interesting part. Very interesting. And I repeat this. It's not making a difference between Jews and non-Jews. Even for this. I know it's not going to sound nice, but even for this. What does Rambam say? Look, you have people that are far in the south, and they don't look like us, like the people around us. He lived in Spain. And these people don't have a religion. That's what the Rambam says. I'm trying over here. Alien imtzayim machutz leir, in the example he gave, those people that don't even enter the palace, they're outside the city. They're every single human being, they don't have a shita umanis, amunis. They don't have a faith. They don't have any rules, any faith, nothing. Not something thought like human beings sat down and say, let's make laws for us. They don't have that. And they don't have something they received as a tradition. Yeah, I don't know, at some point somebody gave us this group of laws. They don't have any of that. And this Rambam says, these people are like outside the palace. And these people, dinam, what's the law for them? Like, what are they? These are just like animals. Are they human beings? Yeah. We just said, every single human being has the potential for intellect. That's what the Rambam talks about. And different powers of the soul. There's only one soul, the human soul. But if you don't think and you don't know God, forget it. You're just like an animal. It doesn't mean literal, of course, because we're human beings and so on. But this is basically the way the Rambam understands the soul and the human being and what's the objective of life, knowing God. That's all there is to it. Now, another source similar to the Rambam is the Kuzari. Kuzari is a very interesting book, philosophy, and difficult to read. And I would attempt to say, even though I'm not an expert on the Rambam and the Kuzari either, but I would attempt to say that the whole thing of the Kuzari is nevuah, prophecy in the land of Israel. Even a Jew living outside the land of Israel doesn't have the same capacity for nevuah, for prophecy, as a Jew living inside the land of Israel. And non-Jews? Of course not. And what makes the difference between a Jew and non-Jew? The Kuzari doesn't talk about the soul so much, as far as I know, but it brings a very interesting thing in the first part, chapter 101, 102, and 3. It's a whole discussion between the king and a rabbi and the king, go back and forth and back and forth. And over here, the rabbi is telling the king, look, the truth is that God created first man, over here, 103. God created the first man, and he passed to his children what the Kuzari calls segula, which is a very difficult word to translate. What does it mean, segula? It's like a treasure. Oof, it went somewhere, and I don't know where. Treasure, like a treasure. Yeah, like a treasure. What is this treasure about? Oof. What is this treasure about? Over here. Is the capacity of reciting upon a person what the Kuzari calls ha'inyan ha'eliki, a godly thing. This is what it's called, godly thing, whatever that means. So according to who's your father and your grandfather and so on, you can receive this godly thing. And the Kuzari says in a different place, when God gave the Torah to the Jewish people, he passed, so to speak, into the Jewish people this godly thing. And this is passed generation after generation. But this was given also to the first man. And he passed it to his children, and one of his children killed the other one, so he lost this godly thing. It just calls it like Inyan Eloki, this godly thing, which is directly related to the land of Israel and the nevuah, prophecy. This is what the Kuzari like goes back and forth, and a person can lose this godly thing, whatever that means, according to his behavior. Pretty much like the Rambam. Pretty similar, but it's different because, again, the Kuzari talks a lot about the land of Israel and the special thing it has, and so on. Having said all this, let's move to a different type of sources, more recent sources that are connected to mysticism, Jewish mysticism. in year 1500s, 1530, lived a very, very important figure in Jewish tradition, which was called Rabbi Yitzchak Luria, known as the Arizal. He didn't write anything, just taught for 2 years, actually, only. And he passed away very early, 38 years old, if I'm not mistaken. But he changed completely the outlook of Judaism for every single Jew and non-Jew in the face of the earth. Completely changed. But since he didn't write anything, his students wrote. And his main student was called Reb Chaim Vital, which wrote a lot of the writings of the Arizal. Again, not written by the Arizal. One of these books is called Sha'arei Kedusha. And Sha'arei Kedusha, the portals of holiness or something like that, it starts right at the beginning. Reb Chaim Vital explaining what's a human being. What is a human being? Okay, so he says, it's known for everybody. Everybody. That the body of a person is not the person himself. Like, your body is not you. It's just your body. And there's something more to you than your body. And he calls it nefesh. It's one of the words, actually, there are five words, nefesh, ruach, neshama, chaya, yechida, five different words for soul in Hebrew. The nefesh is the lowest one. So he calls it, look, there's a nefesh, there's a soul, and this soul is connected, so to speak, to the body and gives life to the body. And when the nefesh, the soul, leaves the body, so you're dead, I'm sorry. And he goes on to a whole long explanation, basically, what the nefesh does and how it works and how it comes down. And the shape, so to speak, spiritual, of course, it has is the same shape the body has with the members and the organs of the body and so on. The soul is intimately related to the body. And then he explains that this, apparently, everybody has this soul. Every single human being, that makes you human. Because imagine the soul of a dog, which also has a soul, or the soul of a plant, or the soul of a stone, in a human being would not work. Why? It's impossible. Why? Because again, the human body has a shape, specific shape, with organs and so on, and that soul that does not have that same shape, it can't make the body function. It doesn't fit into this body. So it doesn't function. So there's a human soul called nefesh. Every single human being has it. This is the first part of the description. Then he says, "Hine, now, nefesh atehoira, there's another thing." I'm adding the word another. It's not in the text. And you will see why I'm adding this in a few minutes. You will see this. But he talks about nefesh atehoira. Up to here, I jumped a whole piece, of course, where he talks about the sin of the first man, and the first man ate from the fruit he didn't have to eat. He was not supposed to eat. And that brought impurity in a mixture of good and bad in the whole world, in the whole creation. Okay, that's what he explains. I invite you to read it, it's fine. And then he talks about nefesh atehoira. But wait a second, there's something that is pure. I added the word another thing. You will see why. And this is composed also of 613 members and sinews and things in the body, whatever. And it gets invested into the 613 members of the Nefesh HaTmeya, you see? Wait a second, how many souls do we have? I don't know. Talks about Nefesh HaTehoira, there's a holy or pure soul, and that holy or pure soul gets invested into the Nefesh HaTmeya, into a impure soul. Okay, and so what? And that together, they get shteihen, you see, they're both together, yachad, they get invested into 613 members of the body. Oh, so wait a second, I have a body, and I have a soul, nefesh, giving life to the body, and I have a soul, I don't know what it is, but that's giving life to the other soul in the body. How does it work? So then he goes in the third part, I'm jumping a lot, he says like this, and now I'm going to explain to you Mahusa Adam, the essence of a person. What's a person? Ma'inyanoi, what does he have to do? So let's start. He gives a whole explanation that I'm going to jump about the worlds, what spiritual worlds and blah, blah, blah. Very nice, spiritual worlds. And then he says like this. First of all, I jumped a little bit, but first of all, he creates the lowest thing of the lowest. Stones, like precious stones and metals and so on. And then he created, God created tzemeach, plants, vegetal world. And then he created chai, animals. And then he created man. See, Adam and Medaber, a human being that talks. But you should know. Ta-ta-ta-ta, the body, and very nice. And then he created a Jew. What? Aren't we human beings? Yeah, but it's a different thing. This is what the Shari Kedusha brings. So how many kinds of creatures are there? I thought there were four. Stones, plants, animals, and human beings. Comes to Chaim Vital and says, no, there's another one. There's a fifth. There's a Jew. How does it work? So let's go to the Tanya of the Alter Rebbe. The Alter Rebbe, 1800s, around 1800s, he, basing himself on the teachings of Rav Chaim Vital, he says it himself, he says, look, it's very interesting and very easy to explain. Ach, however, this is the end of chapter one. The explanation of the thing, according to what Rav Chaim Vital wrote, Beshar Kedusha, you see? So he says it clearly. I'm basing myself on what he wrote, but still, we don't understand pretty well what he wrote. What was the Nefesh HaTmeya, the Nefesh HaTehoira, the impure one, the pure one? What is he talking about? The fifth kind of creation? What is this? The Alter Rebbe says, wait a second. Every Jew, he says every Jew, but then he's going to talk about non-Jews, has two souls. Shtei neshamos, two souls. Oh, really? Yeah. And when you actually go deeper into this, to different Hasidic discourses, you will find many more souls, like three, four, five. Interesting. You have two souls. What are these two souls? So he says that they come from different places. We're not learning about a Jew now. And then he says, Lord Jesus, not the case with the souls of the non-Jews. They came from klipos atmeyos, from impure shells, whatever that means in Kabbalah, klipa, it doesn't really matter. Impure places. And then he goes further. Ain't bayin toiv klal. They don't have anything good to them. But the Jew in the second chapter, Nefesh HaShein is the second soul of a Jew. Where did the Alter Rebbe get this from? Shara Kedusha, we just learned it. So now we can understand a little bit better when the Chaim Vital was saying the impure soul, the pure soul, what is it about, and so on. Later works, I mean, the son of the Alter Rebbe, as a whole discourse, and there's a commentary on that discourse where he explains that this doesn't include every single non-Jew in the world. No. The Alter Rebbe over here is talking about a regular idolater, non-Jew, and so on. But the non-Jew that accepts the seven commandments, whatever they are, and the ramifications and so on, his soul is just like the soul of a Jew, not the second one, the first one. In the classic Hasidic teachings, this is called Nefesh HaBamis and Nefesh HaLekis, animal soul and the godly soul, a non-Jew that keeps the seven mitzvahs and so on, that he has this animal soul just like a Jew. I also have an animal soul because I'm a human being and there's an animalistic shape, so to speak, within me. Passions and desires and so on. We're not going deep into that. Having said all of this, I actually don't, but I invite you to look in other books, the Rechaim from the Ramchal. He says basically non-Jews are a lower type of human beings. Derech Hashem, he says that, the path of God, whatever. And there are other sources also. And I would like to just read a very, very small thing. This is what I'm reading right now. I don't have an image for that, but what I'm reading now, and to end up with this, is a part of a talk of the Rebbe, 1984, where the Rebbe, in the day of Yutes Kislev, 19th of Kislev, which is a very important day for Hasidim, for Chabad Hasidim, and so on, the liberation of the Alter Rebbe from Russia, Tsarist prison in Russia, and so on, the Rebbe brings a whole explanation of a word, an expression in a letter of the Alter Rebbe. The expression is that, says the Alter Rebbe, my liberation, every single non-Jew in the face of the earth sees and recognizes that this came from God. This is what the Alter Rebbe writes. And the Rebbe, based on that, has a whole long thing explaining how it is the obligation of Jews to teach the non-Jews about God. And they should understand there's only one God. And they should fulfill the seven commandments. And those seven commandments had so many ramifications. And this is not a Hasidic thing. This is brought down in Sefer Achinuch, the book of education, mitzvah 416. 416 ramifications. And there are so many to them. It's really difficult to be a ben noyach, bas noyach. It's not so easy. And the Rebbe brings, and this is what I want to end with, that by Jews teaching the non-Jews, we actually bring Mashiach. And the fact that the non-Jews make this world an ethical, moral place, like the verses, Lo yisoy uvra, God did not create the world to be a waste, the Sheves Yetzara, to be inhabited, that's what he created for. When the non-Jews do that, they bring Mashiach closer. They actually make the world a better place, but not just physically, they're just like animals. No, that's not the way it works. They bring Mashiach, and there's a whole argument whether there's going to be conversions or not in the days of Mashiach, whether the non-Jews are going to be Jews or not. Okay, there's a whole argument about that, but the point is, never, never think that the, at least Chabad, Hasidic perspective on non-Jews is just like another animal, a dog, a cat, a non-Jew. No. According to what we received from the Rebbe and from the previous Rebbeim, non-Jews have a special and fundamental function, role in the bringing of Mashiach. So we should all take our responsibility and actually bring him.